Yeah, tonight is my night to do the study, and I'm going to actually go back to Jonah. I know we've been in a few times. Ronnie did it one point last year, and Chico went through Jonah back in November, December, something like that. But the other night, Candy and I were sitting here, and I don't know how the topic came up. Not 2 weeks ago, the topic came up about how it's amazing how the fish in nature work when you can get a million sardines can look like they can encompass anything just from the mass size of them. And so we got on the topic of Jonah and the whale and how God, led that whale to take Jonah. But and when we got to chapter 4, it got very intriguing. You know, when you get to reading the gourd and the worm, how God gave Jonah the gourd for comfort, and then the worm came in and killed the gourd. So there's some questions there, and when we got to looking, it got clearer and clearer as we were studying it, and even when I went to bed that night, for the past week or so, things have been coming to me about how God's word, like in Jonah 4, how God was talking with Jonah about this gourd and about the Ninevites and about their coming, him repenting of the harm that he was going to do to the Ninevites because they believed him. They believed Jonah when he went into the city. The Ninevites believed him. Well, when you get into 4, The whole time that Jonah is writing this book, he is angry. He is angry not only with God for choosing to go to the Ninevites, even though he respected God, but he was angry, why would you want to go to the Ninevites? Well, you know, when we get to looking at that, don't Israel hate us? I mean, you could say that Jonah is Israel and the Gentiles, because Israel hated the Gentiles with a passion. They would be willing to die for it. So that's how God's word can just change the atmosphere of the way a person thinks. It can work on a person's soul, a person's spirit. And it works in a wonderful way to allow you to see Scripture in a different point of view. The way the gourd and the worm works with Jonah, that gourd and worm can work with you. That gourd and worm can work, I don't know, it's just endless. But just to get to the gist of it, I hope I ain't going to give it all away just in my intro, but I'm going to read Jonah. I'm just going to go through it pretty quick with making a few comments, but I'm going to focus on 4. It just takes a couple minutes to read through it, but we're going to go back to 1 and just read through it, and I'll probably read it pretty fast. So, Chip, you can post 3 or 4 at a time and just lay it out there. So, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up and flew to Tarshish. That's the opposite way of where he was supposed to go. Now, Nineveh was approximately 550 miles from Joppa, But to flee from there to Tarshish, that was some 2,500 miles. However far he made it in that boat, I don't know. I don't think nobody knows, but that don't matter. But he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with him unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid. They cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that they were in the ship into the sea, to lighten of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. And here it is, the ship going back and forth. They think it's going to crash. They're going to die, and he's asleep. That sounds familiar. Yeah, well, it is kind of familiar because in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Christ did the same thing. He was sleeping while the rest of the guys were fearing for their life. But so, let's go back to this. So, in 6, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What means thou, meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." And they said, "Every one to his fellow, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they to him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence cam thou? And what is thy country, and what people art thou?" And he said unto them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and dry land." Then were men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he done told them. He told them this probably before he went to sleep. Then said they to him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may calm unto us? For the sea rocked and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea rocked and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay up not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done all as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. The men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now, this prayer that he's praying right here probably happened within about 15 to 20 seconds, because anybody that's been in the water, if you've ever experienced any type of near drowning whatsoever, it don't take but a second. And I'm sure if you've been swallowed up by a whale, it's going to be even faster, because I'm sure he did not have a chance to take a deep breath and fill his lungs with air. So then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of his fish's belly and cried, "By reason of my affliction and the Lord that he heard me, and out of the belly of hell cried I that thou hearest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed about me. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even the soul, the depth closed round about me. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains of the earth with her bars about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God." See, this is a past tense. So he's already said that he's been brought up from corruption. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee and into thy holy temple, that they observe lying vanities, forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah up onto dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Now, there's apparently a lot of time passed from this verse to verse 3, because if he was put back up near where he sailed from, he still had a 500-mile journey. Now, there is a Tigris River that goes up alongside of Nineveh, and a whale can go up the Tigris River, because if God wants it to, it can. Now, it would have to go around a whole area of landmass into another sea, the Arabian Sea, I think it is, and go up that way, which would be a long way, but I'm not putting anything past God, because if Scripture says that the word came to the Lord a second time saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, after he just got vomited up, then that's where he was. He was at the Tigris River. I'm not saying that he was. I'm just saying, if God says it, if God can do it, okay? I'm just going to leave it at that. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of the 3 days' journey. Now, it didn't take 3 days to get to Nineveh. It takes 3 days to go through Nineveh, because Nineveh is probably one of the biggest cities at that time. You know, Nimrod built Nineveh. Nineveh is mentioned, Nimrod, that's in Genesis 10. Out of the land went forth Asher and builded Nineveh, or went into Asher, the region, and built Nineveh. So the Nimrod built Nineveh, and this is way back there, and Jonah wrote this in 690 B.C., so there's a lot of time passed. Nineveh is throughout the Old Testament Scripture. It's one of the major cities in Scripture. So Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. So a day's journey is 20 miles. So the city was 60 miles in circumference. That's how huge it was. So he went into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And I'm sure he said a whole lot more than that, because he cried it over and over again. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and ashes. So the king has already gave it up. He says, I believe you, God. I will repent of the way that my people are doing. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. So it wasn't just men. It was the cattle. It was the birds. It was every living thing inside Nineveh. What do you think God thought about that? But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Man and beast be covered with sackcloth. and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence. Now that word violence is unrighteous. In the Hebrew, that can be unrighteous, violence, oppressor, injustice, damage, but that could be unrighteous. So let every and from every, the violent and from the unrighteousness that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works. He's seen everything, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. Now, we can fast forward to the New Testament just for a second, Matthew, when it says, Matthew 12:41, Jesus himself said, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented and the preaching of at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, the greater than Jonas's here. The generation of Ninevites at that time, now at that time that Jonas was talking to the Ninevites, they will rise and be judgments over the ones that Christ were talking about when he was walking the earth. He says so himself right here. So the Ninevites, a Gentile of Old Testament scripture, will be judging the Israel of the New Testament that did not follow Christ or rejected him. So back to 3, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Well, this is where I have a problem with Jonah. I mean, come on, dude. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. So here comes, you know, my problem with Jonah. I say, come on, man, God done saved you several times, and here you are, you're mad at God because he didn't destroy them. But in his mind, let's get in the mind of Jonah, said, well, you know what, I'm not giving up on it. He's still going to get him. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Oh, poor little old Jonah. He's the Karen of the Old Testament scripture, I guess. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? He said, well, Jonah, hey man, you're going to make yourself sick just being so angry so much. You know, you're going to do well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. You see, he's still in the mindset that, you know, the Lord's still going to get him. He's still going to smoke him. Like Michael said, he's going to smoke him. I know he is. I'm going to sit right here, and I'm going to watch him. So he made him a booth, and a little shanty, and put it up. And the Lord God prepared a gourd in 6 and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. Okay, but did he repent of what he was saying bad? No, don't say anything about that. He was just glad for the gourd. He still wanted Nineveh to be destroyed by God. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. So God took care of the gourd. He fixed that with the worm. He just fixed it. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." So here Jonah's done sick with heat now, in the sun. Apparently his shanty wasn't all that good to protect him from the shade, because the gourd's done withered. That's not protecting him. And now the east wind is coming. And if you look at in the Middle East like that, I don't know what time of the year it was, but it can get up into 100-something degrees. And I've been out in Phoenix. I've been out in Vegas with my wife. It'll be 109 degrees, and Phoenix gets up to 120. So I can sympathize with Jonah as far as the heat goes, because I wouldn't like it too well either. But I'm sure it was hot. And God said to Jonah, "Dost thou well to be angry for the gourd?" You know, why are you angry for the gourd, man? And he said, "I'll do well to be angry even unto death." So here he is again. He's going to die because of the gourd, man. Because the gourd's been not protecting him. There's only two verses left in this scripture. "Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither madest that grow, which came up in the night and perisheth in the night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 64,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" So it kind of leaves you hanging. It leaves you hanging because there's nothing else said here of Jonah. It's just like, well, God said it and that's it, and as well as it should be. But let me call your attention to Jonah's comfort. That is the gourd which God prepared. It was sent to him when he was in very wrong spirit, angry with God and angry with his fellow men, and had hidden away from everybody that bit of shanty which he had put for himself outside the city. Sick of everybody, sick of himself, he gets away into his little booth, and there in discomfort and discontent, he sits and watching to see the fate of the city. Yet God comforted him. God still had mercy on him. By preparing a gourd as a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. You know, we're very apt to say that of some people. Well, really, they are of such bad disposition. They fret about nothing at all, and then they worry themselves when they have no cause for it. We have no patience with them. That's why you say, but that is not how God acts. He does have pity upon such people. He has had patience with many of you when you have been a number of such people, myself included. God has had more patience with me than I would have with anybody else personally. In one sense, when it gets to mentioning the cattle, it's simply a part of the lesser to greater argument. Plants are important, and Jonah is right to have pity for the plant. But people and cattle are even more important than plants. Isn't it right for the Lord to have pity on the great city with all kinds of people and cattle, since there are 120,000 people? But to me, the mention of cattle also signifies something important that we need to remember about God's love for all creation. For all He Himself has made, from plants to animals and to humans. God made a worm attack the tree. The bush represents God's compassion on the Ninevites, on the Assyrians. The worm represents Jonah, who attacks God's compassion. Who would have thought that Jonah would be the worm? But he is. To fight against God's compassion, it is to be the worm indeed. God chided him. Once more, God gently asked Jonah if his attitude is appropriate, and Jonah insists that it is. Well, says God, if you're upset over the loss of one little bush, you had compassion on it. Why should you not be upset over the loss of a great city full of people who were groping spiritually, but listen to me? It makes no sense. So God again asked Jonah, is it right for you to be angry like this? Then God brings it home for Jonah. You feel sorry about a plant not shading you from the bright, hot sun, but you could care less about 120,000 human beings living in spiritual darkness. What are you most angry about? You know? And that's where I would say his arrogance. Israel is probably the most arrogant people that has ever come under God's wings. They are better than anybody because God gave over to them. God gave them signs. Every time they wanted something, they wanted a sign. God gave them a sign. Jonah is the perfect example of Israel. Spoiled rotten and needed to be taught a lesson. Well, I'm sure he got his lesson. But you can also look at Jonah 4 because Candy brought this to my attention. When we looked at it in the gourd, in 4, let me put back a couple pages here. Or 6. The Hebrew word form here for gourd is kikalion. Perhaps from 8706 is kalyao. Kalyao, the primitive root, is vomit or spew. And the kikalion, which is 7021, is the gourd as nauseous. It don't say anything about plant. It's a sickness. So this gourd that's mentioned only in Jonah 4 is a sickness that is put upon Jonah. Even though it gave him comfort, it was still a sickness. He couldn't help it. You could say it's sin that encompassed him. No matter what happened, he could not, for the life of him, find good for Nineveh. The people of Nineveh had done repented from their way and that was willing to listen to God. That city of Nineveh will be judged over Israel of the day that Christ walked the earth. It's amazing to look at God's plan. It's amazing to know the Spirit leads and guides us. And so the story ends, or does it? The message of Jonah is both universal and timeless. The only question is whether we will be upset over a bush or a city full of people. You know, God's Word is life. It is full of life. It is living today. God's Word is living today. When you read Scripture, you can read it doctrinally as to what God said, what Paul said. You can look at it as practical. You can look at it as dispensational. You can look at it as prophetic. You can look at it as figurative, as in Jonah here, and looking at it for several different ways. As I looked at it as figurative of Jonah being Israel and comparing it to what Paul dealt with Israel and him trying to bring the Gentiles into it. And you can look at it as a parable. See, God's Word is amazing. You can't help but love it. And when you can understand it rightly divided, as we're taught and we're learned through the Holy Spirit, this Word is not just black and white. This Word is so four-dimensional in color spectrum that it's amazing. With that, I'm going to... Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you, dear Lord, for this day and Lord, for all these people that listen here. And those that will listen at a later date, I pray that it can touch someone and let them see some truth in Scripture. Let them feel the Spirit come in and teach them whatever you are intent on delivering them, Lord. Your will be done in all our lives, Lord, is all I pray. And I thank you and all these things I ask. In Christ's name, amen.